It's nice to be back at our regular Ksuba slot. It's nice to be back Stamazay learning Torah Sunday morning, but specifically at our Ksuba slot that we've been we haven't met for some time. I was sick, and then we had Pesach Baruch Hashem, so we got to get back into the flow of the sugya of Ksubas. Some important public announcements. First of all, I'd like to thank publicly the Young Israel of Woodmere for being so considerate with the last month of March, where I wasn't able to say shurim as much as I would have liked to due to sickness, and they were very considerate and understanding, and I greatly appreciate their kindness. Secondly, after Stewie working on the behalf of our shir to speaking with Dr. Glatt to see when will we perhaps be allowed to return in person, from what I understand, the policy of the Young Israel Woodmere is that they need everyone to be vaccinated, not antibodies. So due to the fact that I recently got sick and I will not be able to get the vaccine for some time, that will set us back a little bit of time until we can get back into person. Even though I do have a lot of antibodies, that's not the criteria that Dr. Glatt works with, and we're not here to debate that. I'm definitely not a doctor. So we're going to just, you know, the good news is we will hopefully be getting back in person soon, just not yet. So hopefully, again, if I get the green light that I can get the vaccine earlier than 3 months, by all means, I'll be the first one to get it. As I've been pro-vaccine since the beginning of all this, and I tried to get one even before I got sick, but Hashem had other plans. But as soon as I could get it, I will get it, and I'm assuming everyone here is also somewhat vaccinated. If not, I would definitely suggest getting one or speaking to your doctor about it. And then we will, emir Hashem, be able to get back into in live learning, which obviously is a lot better than Zoom, but the while we will learn the way we do it, and we will continue growing. On the parasha, I don't have much to say. We had an entire chumash here for about an hour and 10 minutes. If you listened, then there's a lot to talk about. I don't really want to spend too much time on the parasha either, because we really, really gave a lot of time to last week's shir. I just will mention one thing and really, really move on. You know, last week was Yom HaShoah. There's a lot to discuss in Yom HaShoah from a hashkafic standpoint, the halachic standpoint. The only statement that I will make, and I think it's important, is that, you know, the godless of those Jews who survived the Holocaust and rebuilt Klal Yisrael and rebuilt Torah is just beyond my understanding. The more I study the Holocaust, and I consider myself an amateur historian in the Holocaust, and the more that I study on it, the more I see, it's just beyond my understanding and comprehension how anyone can rebuild after such horror and terror. And it always reminds me of the famous story that took place with Rabbi Beryl Wine in Miami, when the Satmar Rebbe was there for a trip, and someone came to him for a bracha, and he said, "Do you see that yid who's putting on tefillin? Go to him and get a bracha from him." And it just, it's so true. The more we study and the more we read, to realize what those Jews went through, and those, again, it can be anywhere between 6 years to 6 months to 6 days to 6 weeks. Everyone had a different stint in the camps or under the Nazi occupation. Hungarian Jews were only affected later. German Jews were affected much earlier, and Polish Jews already from 1939. It's beyond any form of understanding of what these Jews went through. You know, and to still come out and still be firm and still be a Yiras Shamayim is boggles my mind out of him. As I have the utmost, deepest respect for any Holocaust survivor that has Hashem in his life today, and I have absolutely no tainers or tefillas on anyone that threw away Yiddishkeit. We can't even imagine the life they lived. As much as you'll watch film and videos and clips and stories and books and pictures, we could never be masig what these Yidden went through. Sadly, there's less and less survivors. There was a terrible loss of survivors during Corona. In Eretz Yisrael, the number was an exorbitant number of how many Jews, of Holocaust survivors, we lost because of COVID, which makes sense because Holocaust survivors are elderly and COVID affected the elderly. But the few that we have left, it's such an achrayus to cherish them and to really talk to them. I try my hardest whenever I come across a survivor to talk to them, to hear from them, listen to their life, hear, gain, grow. These people are truly tzaddikim. These people are, in my opinion, goyim olam. We don't stand anywhere near these people who survived the horrors and the terrors of what they went through. And they came out and they built Yiddishkeit. There's so many of them that are responsible today for the future of Klal Yisrael. They came back and from the ash, they managed to build buildings and moistas and Torah. Those people are amazing people. And I think we should acknowledge them. It's a shame we only talk about the Holocaust 2 days of the year. We talk about it on Yom HaShoah, and we talk about it on Tisha B'Av. But we should talk about it more. We should educate. We should teach. We should let our children know the next generation has very little hasag of what the Holocaust was, especially in the secular world. We have so much Holocaust deniers, and we have all these other people that are trying to downplay the Holocaust. They try to picture, you know, that Hitler was like Trump, which is obviously not anywhere near similarity of the horror of what took place. So it's an achrayus of all of us to continue this legacy of these great people. and just continue talking about them and expressing their greatness and what we can grow and learn from them. You know, we get all stressed out when life gets a little bumpy in the road. You know, the Wi-Fi slow, it's a little cold outside. These yidden went through a lot much worse, and they came out better and stronger, and we can only grow and learn from them. That's my personal takeaway from the entire Yom HaShoah event. Okay, my other last announcement is that we're starting a very, very, very controversial series this Tuesday night. So you got to be mocked in that it's controversial, so people will want to listen. We will be discussing a very important topic, but again, very controversial. It's going to be discussing the usage of the community Eruv. Now, we're not going to be discussing controversial Eruvin. We're going to be discussing good Eruvin that are 100% kosher, mehudr to the umpth degree. But is there still a reason for someone to say, you know what, I don't use an Eruv? Right, every once in a while, I'll meet a person who tells you, I don't hold of the Eruv. Whatever those words mean. So we're going to try to discuss, and we'll see what exactly do those words mean. Is there any validity to that? Should you not? Again, we're not going to be putting at all any tainas on any local Erevin. We're going to be going through the Kusher Erevin, you know, the Erevin in Queens and the Erevin in the 5,000. We're not dealing with the Brooklyn Manhattan Erevin tumult. We're talking about good Erevin, but what is this idea that people say they don't like to use Erevin? So again, you might want to miss it. You might want to be there. It's up to you to decide what you want to do with that. Okay, so let's get back to Ksubas Chavtas in the base. So if just remind everyone. Yes. Yes, David.
Esther Sarabas Chaya Pesel.
Today's learning should be a schus for Fushlema for Esther Sarabas
Chaya Pesel
B'soich Sha'ar Chayle Yisrael. Okay. We left off last time. It's been a while already, but if you remember the last time we learned Ksubis, we were talking about the Mishnah. The Mishnah in the opening the third paragraph of Ksubis talks about which women get Knas and which women do not get Knas. And if you remember, the Tanakhama said that the Tana that we have in our Mishnah said that even these women, again, just let's go back one more step. We also mentioned that one of the things that happens when you're Ma'anis or Mefata girls, you have to pay her money, and you also have a mitzvah to marry her. V'loy siel isha. To she should be your wife. There's a mitzvah to marry her. If it's an oinis, we force you to marry her. If it's Mefata, you have the option to marry her. Now, we have in the Mishnah a whole list of women that if you're Ma'anis or Mefata, you're not allowed to marry. They're usher to you. Examples the Mishnah talked about was your sister. So the Mishnah says they still get knas even though you're not allowed to marry them. Why? So if you remember, we had an entire half an omen of Chavtes Amid Beis where the Gemara had drushes and drushes about how do you know that even though the woman is unable to be married to, you still have to pay a knas. Then the Gemara opens up number one. Ulia fuke meha tana de tanya. But our Mishnah is going against these other tanoim. Who are these other Tanoim? The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. The Loisi Elisha. It says in the Torah that the woman that you're Ma'anis or Mefata, you're supposed to take her for a wife. So, Shimon Hatemani. Okay? Shimon Hatemani Oimer Isha Shiesh Bahavaya. Shimon Hatemani says, what type of woman is the Torah talking about? It's a woman that has Havaya. What does it mean that has Havaya? It means that you could make Kedushin to this woman. Even though it's not necessarily someone the Torah wants you to marry. But she at least you could make kedushin to this woman. That's the sheet of Shimon HaTemani. And a lady who you can't have tefisas kedushin to, a lady that you cannot marry, then you don't have knas. For example, you can't marry your sister. So therefore, according to Shimon HaTemani, if you're ma'anis your sister, there is no knas. Why? Because according to him, the knas is dependent upon the status of marriage. It's only a woman which I can have avaya to, which I can have kedushin to. A lady that I can have kedushin to, I don't have to give knas. Now, it's interesting, we're going to go on a little bit of a side tangent, not for so long, but what was this Tana's name? This Tana's name was Shimon HaTemani. First of all, why was he not Reb Shimon? Why is he not Reb Shimon? So if you look at number two, there's a Rashi Mesechas Sanhedrin Daf Yizayin. Rashi says, Talmud Hoya, he was a student, V'lei Nismach, he never obtained Smicha. Shalei Bo L'chlal Zekene, he never got old enough. Shimon HaTemani died young. So since he never was old enough to get his smicha, he's always referred to as just Shimon HaTemani. Even though there is a Gemara in Baba Kama Dav Tzadi Amabez that calls him Reb Shimon HaTemani, but there might have been two Shimon HaTemanis, that's one answer. Or the other answer is maybe it might have been a printing mistake, but Rashi and Sanhedrin assumes that this is the way it's written in Seder Hadairis, that Shimon HaTemani never obtained smicha because he died young. Now there is a bit of a tumult about what his name is. Is his name Shimon HaTemani? Or is his name something else? If you look at number three, Rashi and Tainus, Rashi says, Shimon HaTemani mi Timna Hoya. He was from the town of Timna. Timna was a town in Eretz Yisrael. So according to Rashi and Mesechas Tainus, his name is Shimon HaTemani, not Teman, but from Timna, from the city of Timna. However, Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Sefer Lechem Shemayim, number four, he writes, not like that, he says that there's a Bar Tanura, the Rab Bar Tanura writes, mi Timna, Nir lefisha hayagaris hatimani. Without hatimni, he says she came pashut shemisham chaisen hatimni. Va'anachdu karen hatimani betzeire. Kakosev betayra chusha me'eretz hatimani. Ve'ein zar loyma shehi me'eretz teiman. Yaakov Emden says no, he actually came from the city of Teiman. Not from Timna in Eretz Yisrael, but rather he lived in Teiman. Even though Taki was Chutz La'aretz, that there were many Tanoim who lived in Chutz La'aretz. Meaning, if Yaakov Emden says he didn't come from Timna like Rashi Maseches Tainis, but he came from Teiman, and therefore he shimen ha-Teimani from the city of not Timna, but rather he came from Teiman. And even if Yaakov Kamenetsky weighed in on this Shaila, if Yaakov Kamenetsky number 5 writes, "Ube'emes Mashikosav Rashi b'Tainis anal shimen ha-Timni mitimna." Says Yaakov, what did Rashi Maseches Tainis want? Rashi Maseches Tainis told us that he came from Timna. Not, don't think he came from Teiman. So says Yaakov, be'emes mehechen hayil ra'yaze. Frank Yaakov, how did Rashi know that? Maybe Taka came from Teiman. How do you know he only came from that? He didn't come from Teiman. The evshe the sfeila of Rashi del moli hayibam miteiman havelei loymam eretz haTimni. Then it should have said he came from the land of Timni. Okay, so there's a little bit of a discussion where this Shimon HaTeimani lived. Either he lived in Timna in Eretz Yisrael, or he lived in Teimani. He lived in Chutz La'aretz. He didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, a little bit of a side interesting historical note where exactly he stammed from. But in any case, what's his opinion? Shimon HaTeimani's opinion is that a lady does not get knas unless she's a type of lady that you can marry her. Let's see Rashi number 6. Uleafuke mehatana masnis niktoni yesh knas lemamzerisulachoisoi. Our Mishnah that told us that you could get knas if you're ma'anis a girl who's a mamzeris or your sister lafuke mehaitana. It was coming to disprove these tanoim. Who are these tanoim? Shimon HaTeimani and Shimon Menasya. What is Shimon HaTeimani hold? Sheish ba'avaya shekdushin toivsun loba. All we care about is if you can make kedushin to this woman. Prat lachoister, that excludes a sister. Or lechol chayvi krisis, and any woman who's a chayvi krisis. The alfinim bekedushin, sheikedushin toivsun men. We know that you can't marry someone who's a chayvi krisis. Zogt Rashi, where does he see that in the pasuk? Umash malei tihi loshin havaya. It says in the chumash, v'loi sihi el isha. To this woman, she should be your wife. So Zogt Rashi, umash malei tihi loshin havayas kedushin. And he learned, if Shimon HaTeimani learned that word tihi means tvisis kedushin. So a woman that I could marry, that's a woman that I have knas to. But any woman who the Torah blocks the kedushin from being valid, such a woman there is no knas. That's the first sheet in the Gemara. What's the second sheet of the Gemara? Reb Shimon Menasi, I mean, third line. Reb Shimon Menasi, I mean, isha haruya lekaimo. Reb Shimon Menasi says no. It's not enough that the woman is able to be married to you halachically. It has to be a woman that you're allowed to stay married to. Meaning, it's a woman that the Torah allows you not only to be married to, not only to marry, but to stay married to. Sometimes you have a situation where the Torah says the chalois is chal, but we don't exactly endorse such a wedding. We don't want you to stay married to this person because it's not really good. But the kedushin is chal anyways. However, says Reb Shimon ben Menasi, no, it's got to be a woman. Not only that you could marry, but it's a woman that the Torah sanctions such a marriage. So the Gemara asks a simple kasha, may be nayu, where is there a practical difference between these two tanoim? One says it has to be a woman that you could marry. One says it has to be a woman that you could stay married to. What's the nafkamina between a woman you could marry and a woman you could stay married to? Says the Gemara, ikke be nayu, there's a simple nafkamina. Mamzeris v'nesina ikke b'nayu. The difference would be, what about a mamzeris and what about a nesina? Why? Leman d'oma yesh b'havaya. If it's dependent upon having kedushin, hanami yesh b'havaya. Those women have tefisas kedushin. Why do those women have tefisas kedushin? Because those women are only chayvi lavin. And we're assuming now that chayvi lavin have tefisas kedushin. But leman d'oma roi l'kaima. But if you're going with the fact that these are women the Torah wants you to be married to, ha'ena roi l'kaima. These are not women the Torah wants you to stay married to. Avada, if you give her a ring and you say to Ariya Mekudeshes, the Kedushin is Chal. But this is not women the Torah wants to be married to. The Torah doesn't want you to be married to a Mamzeris for the rest of your life. So therefore said the Gemara, very geshmaka and afkamina. What would happen if a guy is Ma'anis a Mamzeris? So if it's dependent upon Tvisis Kedushin, you are Taifis Kedushin with a Mamzeris. That's a Chavi Lavin. Chavi Lavin has Tvisis Kedushin. So you would have to pay her Knas. But if you hold that it's totally in a woman that you're allowed to stay married to, Lamaisa and Mamzeris would not be allowed to stay married to. So the Gemara thinks that this would be the perfect nafkamina between Shimon HaTeimani and Shimon ben Menasya. Now, the Achrayim have a kash on this Gemara, that why does the Gemara make it so complicated? The Gemara wants to know what's the nafkamina between the two Tanoim. The Gemara answers, nafkamina is Mamzeris v'nesina. Mamzeres v'nesina are just examples of chayv lavin. Why couldn't the Gemara just say the nafkamina is chayv lavin? Why did the Gemara have to say it's mamzeres v'nesina? Mamzeres v'nesina are examples of chayv lavin. Let's just cut out the middle step and just tell us the nafkamina is chayv lavin. That's a kasha that the achrayim have. But in any case, the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says 1 second. But what about according to Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva holds there is no tefisas kedusha when you have chavi lavin. So if according to Rabbi Akiva you can't even marry a chavi lavin, you can't stay married to a chavi lavin, so what would the nafkamina be then? My beinayu? Says the Gemara, ikke beinayu almona l'koyin gadol kireb simoy. The Gemara comes up with a very interesting nafkamina. The nafkamina would be what happens if a koyin gadol is ma'anis and almona. I guess it's hard for us to imagine the Kohen Gadol being Ma'anis and Almona, but okay. Definitely during Bayesheni could have happened. The Kohen Gadol during Bayesheni were all bought jobs. So the case is you have a Kohen Gadol who's Ma'anis and is Ma'anis and Almona. Why? Why is that different? Sharit Omre Toira lo yikach v'lo yichal, because the Torah says by Almona, Kohen Gadol says, don't marry her, don't profane. Chilulun hu osa vein osa mamzer. We have a special drasha from Reb Simoy that again, Almona le Kohen Gadol is a lav, lo yikach. According to Rabbi Akiva, anytime the Torah says lav, you don't have tefisas kedushin. So one would assume that Almona l'Kohen Gadol also has no tefisas kedushin. However, says the Gemara, not so. Almona l'Kohen Gadol is a unique exception. Why is Almona l'Kohen Gadol a unique exception? Because the Gemara says that if a Kohen Gadol were to marry an Almona, he makes the children chilulim. So the Gemara says, you know what happens when Almona marries a Kohen Gadol and he has a baby? That baby is a chol, but that baby is not a mamzer. That's what the Gemara says. So what's the obvious question? What does that have to do with our discussion? Our discussion is whether or not this feast is kedushin from an almon of the Kohen Gadol. So we're going to see that Taisus proves from this Gemara that you see that the status of mamzeres and the status of kedushin go hand in hand. If you have a baby that is produced from a marriage and that baby is a mamzer, that means that the kedushin was not chal. However, if you have a baby that's produced and the baby is not a mamzer, that's a sign that the kedushin is chal. So the Gemara thinks that since the Gemara has a drasha that the baby is not a mamzer, that must mean that the kedushin is chal. So even though Almona l'Kohen Gadol is a lav, and normally we hold there's no tefisas kedushin by a lav, this must be the exception. But again, how do we know that this is the exception? From the fact that the baby is not a mamzer, that's supposed to shed light on the fact that the kedushin is chal. That's what we're going to be able to talk about a little later this morning, hopefully. But what do we have so far? We have two Tanoim who disagree with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that no matter how far removed you are from marrying this woman, this could be your sister, who there's no one in the world that says that she's kedushin in your sister, you still have to pay a knas. How? Because we have Rebuyim and Drushes. But these two Tanoim say differently. These two Tanoim say, no, you can only have knas if either it's a woman that you could marry, or it's a woman that you could stay married to. Other than that, there's no knasas. That's the sheet that's in the Gemara. Let's see some more Rashi, number 6, Suk Rashi. Hai nami ispa havaya. This is talking about a mamzeres v'nesina. Why? The kedushin tarifs in b'chavi lavin. Because a mamzeres v'nesina is an example of a chavi lavin. And we hold there is tefisas kedushin by a chavi lavin. Fakti gemara kashu le Rebakiva. What about according to Rebakiva? Dome in kedushin tarifs in b'chavi lavin. Rebakiva holds there is no tefisas kedushin by a chavi lavin. How do we know that Rabbi Akiva holds there's no tefisas kedushin b'chavi lavin? Dr. Rashi, b'yivamis b'hacholitz, the Gemara in the fourth parak of Yivamis, b'braisa, there's a braisa that says, hamach z'grusha, so if someone takes back his grusha, Rabbi Akiva oimer, ain't lo kedushin. Rabbi Akiva says there's no kedushin. Mach z'grusha is an example of a chavi lavin. So we learn now from Rabbi Akiva that Rabbi Akiva holds there is no kedushin in a chavi lavin. So the Gemara says, if you hold there's no kedushin in chavi lavin, what's the difference between Reb Shimon Atemani and Reb Shimon ben Menasya? So the Gemara says, "Ma'abi, now you almonu l'koyin gadol." So Rashi, the ma'idba Reb Akiva shekedushin toifsin loba. Reb Akiva agrees that when you have almonu l'koyin gadol, there is kedushin. The alpha pisha he belav, even though she's a lav. How? Ukreb simoy like Reb Simoy darshit. For who adin grusha lehedjet? Says Rashi. Let's say, for example, forget almonu l'koyin gadol. Let's say a grusha to a regular koyin. A regular koyin is ma'anes a grusha. So he's not allowed to marry a grusha. But if a regular kohen would go out and be ma'anis a grusha, so according to Rabbi Akiva, he technically thought that there is tefisas kedushin, even though it's a lav. So that would be the nafkamina. According to Reb Shimon Atemani, there would be knas. According to Reb Shimon Menasya, there wouldn't be knas. Fine. Now, the big question over here is according to these Tanoim, Shimon Atemani and Shimon Menasya, right, they hold that there's only knas if it's a woman that either you could marry or that you could stay married to. So let's talk about according to Reb Shimon Atemani for a second. Let's say a man is ma'anis a chayvi lavin. A man is ma'anis A kohen is ma'anis his grusha. Okay? A kohen is ma'anis a grusha. Right? A kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha. But according to Shimon HaTeimani, a kohen who does tvisas grusha to a grusha, the k'dushin is chal. Right? Now, are they living in sin every single day that they're together? Of course they are. A kohen is not allowed to live with a grusha. Now, according to Shimon HaTeimani, would the Torah actually make this guy stay married to her? Even though every day they're going to be living in sin? Or does the Torah just mean that theoretical, since you could marry her, that's enough to make you pay the payment? But Avada, we're never going to actually expect you to stay married to her. Which one? Again, according to Shimon HaTeimani, if a guy goes over and is ma'anis a woman who's a chavi lavin, so Kedushin is toifsin. But again, it's not something that the Torah wants you to do. The Torah doesn't want you to be married to a chavi lavin, even though the Torah says the Kedushin goes through. So according to Shimon HaTeimani, are you actually supposed to be expected to stay married to this woman and live in sin every single day with her just to fulfill the Torah's v'loisi elisha? Is that what the Torah wants you to do? So Bishlam, according to us, we say that you get the money even though there's no v'loisi elisha. But according to Shimon HaTeimani, you have to fulfill v'loisi elisha. And according to him, you can fulfill v'loisi elisha with a woman as long as the Kedushin went through. But you're living in sin every day with this woman. Oh, but the Kedushin went through. So what? The Kedusha going through is not necessarily a reflection of the fact that you're having an illicit relationship. So would the Torah want you to stay in an illicit relationship just because of the din of Eloisi Elisha? That's the Shiloh.
How could be something negative Torah at the beginning? I mean, how do you...
Exactly. It's so antithesis that the Torah would want you to be Iver and Isser to fulfill the Torah. It almost doesn't make sense. No. Now, I know what many of you are thinking, what happened to Asei Dachelois Asei, all this fancy Torah. So the truth is, the Gemara discusses it at length later on in the Perek. And the Gemara says, we don't say Asei Dachelois Asei over here, because over here, you can always circumvent the Asei. The Gemara is terutzim, why we don't say Asei Dachelois Asei. So the pastor says, Hashem doesn't want you living in sin with this woman. So how does it work according to B'Shem and Atei Money? According to B'Shem and Atei, yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Would you have to give this person a get? In other words, if you're Mekadosh Bechayv in Lavim and they don't want you to stay married, are you Mechuyev to give a get? Would that make a Nafkamina?
No, 100%. She's a regular Kedushin. Kedushin types to mean she's a regular Eishes Ish. But the problem is, the fact that the Kedushin went through with this woman is not necessarily a sign that Hashem wants you to be married to this woman.
Well, the
Mitzvah, yeah, it would just be very strange. We'll see the Lashon of the Mishnah Melech. He says, like, it doesn't make sense to him. That would be the Ratzon HaTorah. That the Torah would want you to marry a woman that the Torah doesn't want you to marry. Again, you can ask me, if the Torah doesn't want you to marry her, so why did the Torah give you Tvisas Kedushin? Good, that's a Ha'ara. But, you know, sometimes in life, the fact that something goes through does not necessarily arrive that it's the right thing. You know, somehow things happen, they go through, you slip through. But it doesn't mean Hashem wants you to do that. Here we're going to say that a man is going to stay married to a woman that the Torah definitely doesn't like because according to Shimon Manasseh of Eloisi Elisha. That's really the question. So if we'll skip the Shittim Mikubetzes for a second. Let's look at the Mishnah Lamelech. It's a very long Mishnah Lamelech in number 8. The Mishnah Lamelech discusses this question. He wants to know, according to Shimon HaTeimani, are you really expected to go marry this woman, stay married to her, live in sin every day, to fulfill this din of the Torah? So he writes like this. So it says the Mishnah Lamelech, number 8. He writes, V'hine yoytze lidom bedavar chodesh, shekifi anirim edivrei moron, who the Shimon HaTeimani comes out according to Shimon HaTeimani, the Darish Lakra Deloisi Elisha Beisha Sheyesh Lo Havaya, that as long as the woman has Tvisas Kedushin, Nafka Mina comes out the Chol Isha Sheyesh Lo Havaya, any woman that you can make Kedushin to, Av She'in Eru L'Kaima, even though you're not supposed to stay married to her, Harei Zeh Noisa, you're supposed to marry her. V'cheinire Memrutz Divrei Achacham Hasholom Anisker, V'nei L'Divreim Shimon HaTeimani the Polo Galei Dekiva Sviulei. So he says over here, comes out, according to Shimon HaTeimani, if it's someone that's chayvei krisus, with this absolutely no kedushin, so of course there's no din of marrying her. But as long as you can get the kedushin through with this woman, she's a chayvei lavin, she's a grusha to a kohen, where you can get the marriage through, according to Rabbi Akiva. Once you can get the marriage through, even though you're living in sin, every day you live with this woman, you're living in sin, we don't care. According to Shimon HaTeimani, you stay married to her. Says the Mishnah Lamelech, Nimtza, it comes out. Shaha'oinis achas mi yisurei bia. If someone is ma'anis, any one of the yisurei bia, zulas chayvei krisus, unless she's a chayvei krisus, harei zeh noisa. You should marry her. Why? Because the kedushin goes through. If the kedushin goes through, you have Eloi Silisha. If you have Eloi Silisha, you're supposed to follow the Ratzon HaTorah. Says the Mishnah Lamelech, v'libibi loy kein. Yachshev. I just can't think like that. Says the Mishnah, I can't comprehend such an idea. He says, "De'im isa lahai milsa." If this would be true, that the Torah would want you to do that, says the Mishnah Melech. How can no one have told us this? If this is correct, then it comes out a massive chiddush. It comes out, according to Shimon HaTeimani, you're allowed to live with Isuri Biyah. Why? Because as long as Kedushin's Taifsin, as long as you can get the marriage through, that's all we care about. According to Shimon HaTeimani, once you get the marriage through, the ball rolls and you gotta marry her. But you're living in sin every day. Says the Mishnah Melech, his heart doesn't seem to be believing such an idea. He doesn't believe there'd be such a chiddush like that, and no one makes any comment that that would be so. Even though it l'chayre sounds right based on the way we learned the Gemara, the pashup shat in the Gemara—that's what it sounds like. According to Shimon HaTeimani, the deciding factor of a loisi elisha is what is just whether or not you can get married, not stay married, but get married. And since chayve lavin, anything under chayve krisis, according to Rabbi Akiva, comes at anything under chayve krisis, you can get married. And if you can get married, so then you have to fulfill the Torah. So tiny the Mishnah Melech, it can't be. Now, if the Mishnah Melech is right, so how do you learn Shimon HaTeimani then? Again, Pashup Shat, Reb Shimon HaTeimani is saying is that as long as you can get married to the woman, then you get married to her and you fulfill the Ratzon HaTorah. What's the other way to learn Reb Shimon HaTeimani? Says the Mishnah.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Where do we know that when you're married to Chayv and Lav, that you're over it every day? We learned by in Mila, you know, it's the whole Chakira was, in other words, every time you don't have a bris Mila, you're over
I mean, every time you live with her physically. Every beer you're going to have. Yeah. Every beer is going to be this. She's also to you still. The fact, you know, every time you live, every Maisa beer is another Chavi Lavin. So the guy's going to stay married to the woman for 20 years. He's going to have a whole lot of Chavi Lavin when it's all over. So Mishnah Mel says, he can't understand that this would be the loophole. The Torah would permit a man to live with an Esurei beer just because of Rabbi Shimon HaTeimani's drasha. The Mishnah Mel finds it very hard to imagine. So what's the so Im Kain? So how do you learn the Gemara? Says the Mishnah Melech Vahanira Etzli. Do the Kuliyam L'Kol Shia Sura Etzli Einay Naisai. Says the Mishnah Melech, a new way to read the Gemara. Reb Shimon HaTeimani never walked into town and said, "Well, as long as you can marry the woman, then you have a mitzvah of Alois Elisha." That was never Reb Shimon HaTeimani's agenda. Even Reb Shimon HaTeimani agrees that if you're Ma'anas a Chayvi Lavin, you're not allowed to marry her because Chayvi Lavin are Isurei Bia. You can't live with someone who's Aser to you. So what was Reb Shimon HaTeimani's chiddush to the sugya? Says the Mishnah Lamelech, "V'lav miyutu dekra d'lahal itzakra." He says that's not the chiddush of Alois Elisha that I'm allowed to live with a woman who's Aser to me as long as I was able to slip the kedushin through. That's not the pshat. Says the Mishnah Lamelech, "Why?" "T'lahal itzakra d'mechatesa shis isha asur lo." He said that's not even a question. That couldn't have been the kavanas haTorah. We learned Shimon HaTeimani 5 minutes ago. Shimon HaTeimani was saying is that the chiddush of Lois Elisha is that as long as she's a woman who has Tvisis Kedusha, you should marry her and go through the whole process. Says the Mishnah Melech, absolutely not. That is not what the Kavanas HaTorah was. The Kavanas HaTorah was not to live with a woman in sin for your entire life just because you were able to marry her. So what does the Gemara mean, says the Mishnah Melech? Elo de Svir Le Reb Shimon Benassi Ule Shimon HaTeimani Dekra De Lois Elisha Asa Leknas. The Gemara of Alois Elisha is like this. A woman who is shaykh marriage, she is shaykh knas. Not that you're actually going to go marry her. Avad, you can't go marry her. But when the Torah is defining which women are bar knas, the guideline is if you're Alois Elisha, which means according to Shimon Manasya, it means you can actually stay married to her. While according to Shimon HaTeimani, it's a woman that you can at least get married to. But that was just a question of who gets knas and who doesn't get knas. It was never a discussion of who actually gets married and who doesn't get married. So we have two ways to learn Shimon HaTeimani. One way to learn Shimon HaTeimani is that he's saying that from the pasuk of Alois Elisha, the Torah tells me as long as you can get the kedushin through, you should go through with the marriage and stay married to her and pay her knas. That the Mishnah Melech finds very disturbing. The other way to learn Shimon HaTeimani is no. The Gemara was never discussing who you're allowed to marry because you're not allowed to marry people that are also to you. The Gemara has a different shiloh. Which women get knosis? Which groups of women get knosis? The answer is, according to Shimon HaTeimani, a girl that you could potentially marry, not that we're endorsing it, and not that we're even telling you to marry her. But if this woman, theoretically, you'd give kedushin to, that kedushin would go through, such a woman, you have to pay knas. But never, ever, says the Mishnah Lamelech, did we ever suggest that you should actually marry her. So what comes out, according to this pshat, is that even according to Shimon HaTeimani, we're splitting knosis in marriage. We're saying that you can have a woman that you're not going to marry, but you're still going to pay her knas. But the pshat is that I could have married her. I'm practically not going to marry her because the Torah doesn't want me living in sin my whole life. But since she's a woman that I could have possibly, potentially, halachically have married, that's enough to be v'loy silish and to pay the knosis. That's what comes out according to the Mishnah Lamelech. So we have two mahalchim in the Gemara to how to learn Shimon Atimani's Chiddush. Now we'll see in a second that these two mahalchim are very relevant for the lumdus of Shimon Atimani. Why? According to the first pshat, according to Shimon Atimani, when the Torah says, v'loy silish, I want you to marry this woman, the Torah is telling me two things. The Torah is telling me that if the woman is able to be married, I want you to marry her, you have to marry her, and you pay her the knas. She's like a regular woman. According to the second pshat, the Gemara is not saying that. The Gemara is saying that v'loy silish is the geder hadvarim for which women get knas. A woman who you can theoretically have married, even though I'm not endorsing you and I'm not telling you to do it, such a woman gets knas. Now we can go turn to a Gevaldike Chakira from Ebyankiv and Emes Liakov.
Rabbi Sokolov, yes. Can you explain, when you say that a woman who is technically capable of being married, because there's no specific issur against her condition or her situation, it's just there's a lot that you get if you marry her.
No, right, exactly. I mean, there's a law for living with her, but the Torah still allows the Kedushin to go through.
But when you say they're allowing it, it's that they're not expressly prohibiting it, like a sister or, you know.
Right, meaning if I give Kedushin to my sister, that is meaningless and nothing. I don't need to give her a get. But if I were to give Kedushin to a Chayvi Lavin, she becomes an Eish Ish.
So practically speaking, you would need Aidin for such a wedding.
Yes. Right? 100%.
So if the Aidim didn't know her situation,
yeah,
the wedding shouldn't be chal because the Aidim didn't really have Aidim, right? Because they were witnessing something they didn't realize. And if they did realize it, are they kosher Aidim for being Aidim on such a thing?
No, again, they're allowed to get married. The marriage is not the problem. The problem is the living together is the problem. Meaning if these
is the marriage really chal if you don't have Aidim who are kosher?
Again, the Edom are 100%. Well, if you guys want to go back in history when we learned Kedushin a long time ago, so we spoke about this. Shaila, Reb Shimon talks about this. How much do the Edom really need to know? The Edom need to know that Reuven's giving a ring to Leah and that they're trying to create a chalois. All the other details, it's very possible that the Edom could be shown later. We spoke about this even with regard to the Shaila if the ring belongs to Reuven. If the ring is a Shava Pruta, Reb Shimon held that it's not so poshut that the Edom even have to know how much the ring costs. That they can figure out later. What the Edom have to see is that there's a consent from Reuven to Leah to want to get married. Reuven wants to get married and Leah wants to get married and Leah consents and Reuven consents. That's good enough. Now when the Edom watch a Kohen give Kedushin to a Grusha, if you hold the Kedushin goes through, they didn't do any Aveira yet. The actual Kedushin is not the Aveira, because the Kedushin is valid. The Aveira will happen when they go back home and live together. So the two Edom that are watching the giving of the ring from, you know, Reuven to the Grusha, that technically, again, we don't do this today, obviously, but I'm just saying, from according to Akiva, if the Kedushin goes through, it means the Kedushin itself is not the sin. What is the problem is what happens after the Kedushin. So, okay, we'll talk more about this Blina the next week, about the Yavad Mahani type Svars, but hopefully we'll come back to it. So look at this Chakir from Ibyankiv. And people don't understand, there's a famous story with Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky. Reb Yaakov came to Torah Vadas, and he gave what they call a very simple shir. No fancy lumdis, ktsois of kivagers, and the oilman was very disappointed. And the bochum complained. They said, we're used to having these, you know, all over the place shurim with lumdish. So Reb Yaakov said, all that raid, you missed it. I spoke it out in Rashi, when I read the Rashi and the Taisvis. And so one day Reb Yaakov came to shir, and he said, all this lumdish yeshivish raid. So they said, Rebbe, what happened? He said, I'll tell you the truth. I was at a chasana last night and didn't have time to prepare. So I said over all this, you know, yeshiva shared that I knew. When I have time to prepare, then I don't say over all this stuff. I say the real, I really work it into the sugya. So Yaakov knew all the famous raid, but he thought the more simple way of giving over the shares that way. Okay. Yaakov was a big lamdan as well. We don't often get to see it, but here's a nice chakir from Yaakov and Emes Yaakov. So Yaakov, the following chakir. Vina yesh lachka. Yaakov was not a brisker in any stretch of the means. He was definitely not a brisker. He was a slobotka. But he writes it this. V'hinei yeshlachka. B'hod ha'am Reb Shimon Menasya. Listen to this chakir. Shmak ha'chakir. According to Reb Shimon Menasya, if you have a woman who is not eligible for marriage, she is not eligible for knas. Right? That's the rules. Dem ein ruya l'kaimoy. If you can't stay married to her, according to Reb Shimon Menasya, mifta miknash l'chamisha. You're potter from the knas. Again, even if the woman is eligible for chalois kedushin, but if she's not eligible to stay married to, meaning, let's say, Chavei Lavin. Let's say a Kohen goes over to a Grusha and gives her Kedushin. So the Kedushin's valid. But you're not allowed to stay married to her because you're not allowed to live with her. So according to Rishon ben Manasseh, if a Kohen goes over to a Grusha and is Ma'aneser, Pata from Knas. Says Rabbi Yaakov, why? What's the lomdus? Me'ezet tam havei aptor. What is the underlining reason for the Ptor? What are the two tzadim? Says Rabbi Yaakov Gevaldik. I misho mitam kivin da toira chayvosu liso eno. Nimsa de be'eno isha, de be'ezi isha di barakosim. Says Rabbi Yaakov, tzad number one is, because the Torah gave you two parts to this punishment, and we spoke about this in one of our earlier shurim, that the marriage and the knas might be two parts of a punishment. The marriage itself might be a knas. Says Rabbi Yaakov, so the Torah says you got to marry her, and you have to give her money. Zok to Yaakov, if the woman that you were ma'anis, you can't marry her, so this is not the Torah's definition of a woman that you have to pay knas to. Why? Kiven da Torah chayvosu l'se'enu nimtza de be'eze isha di berakosef. That's the type of woman that the Torah is talking about. Bero'o yilekaimi, only a woman that you could stay married to. Ukede metzino gabi ena roi l'bil, like we find another sugya menachis, that if you're able to do the mixing, then the bila is ma'akif. If roi l'bila, then the bila is not ma'akif. Kol she'ein a roi lo, if it's not even befitting to do the mixing, then it's not ma'akif. Ha'ainu. She'af im loy bolo klal, you didn't mix it at all. You didn't mix the carbon mincha. Kosher. Why? Yikomachim kivu de omra ha'teira le'mitzvah, it's only a mitzvah, it's not ma'akif. But it has to at least be roi l'bila. Meaning, the Torah says, I want a woman who at least you could stay married to. That's the type of woman that I consider a woman who gets a knas. That's one side of the chakira. So according to Yaakov, the first side is that if the Torah's definition of a woman that gets knas is a woman who you could stay married to. That's the type of woman the Torah gave knas to. That's one side. Oide efsher, or says Yaakov, maybe another side. Sheyesh kan tamacher, v'hainu. Let's look in another place in the Torah where we have other types of payments. Let's say you pay dalad vehe, four or five times for stealing an animal and tavach u'macher. So the Torah wants you to pay the whole knas. Then if you can't pay the whole knas, then even the part that you could pay, you're potter from. Meaning, the way the Torah works is the Torah is an all or nothing deal. If you don't pay the whole knas, you don't pay half a knas. So he says, Yaakov, like we find when it comes to dal v'hei, dim yesh l'chayv irak b'mol dalid, if you only pay part of it, mifta l'gamri. V'hoche nami kan, zok to Yaakov here also. Kivin da ha-toyre chayv osa l'shalam don kesef, v'gam l'so eno. Yaakov is assuming that the knas is twofold. It's marry her and pay. Therefore, v'mi'efshe l'chayv alisa eno, kivin she'en roi l'kayma, mifta nami miknas shalom. So what's Yaakov's tut stadim? Yaakov Tutzadim is the pshat that you're potter from knas because it's a giloy hakra. What type of woman the Torah included the knas in the first place? That's one side. Meaning that through Veloy Silisha we have a picture of what type of woman the Torah wanted knas for, and it's only that type of woman who you could have married or you could have stayed married to. Or the other side says, Rabbi Yaakov, that's not the pshat. The pshat is that since marrying her is also part of the knas, it's a full package knas. It's marriage plus 50 slime. If you can't do half a knas, you don't do the other half of the knas. Now, we really said this chakira way back when in a machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi. We were told this shayla in a machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi. What is the veloy siel isha? Is that part of the knas? Or is that an independent mitzvah study? It's not part of the knas itself. So, Yaakov wants to be told that in these tanoim here also. Now, l'chayra, Rabbi Yaakov's chakira is relevant according to everyone. Let's go like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah has ribuyim that you pay knas even though you don't marry her. So you can clear chakira. What's pshat in that? Why do you pay knas even though you don't marry her? Is the pshat because marriage and knosos are two separate things? There's a mitzvah to marry her and then there's a din knas. So the riba hakra teaches me that I could have one without the other. Right? Is that one way to learn our Tana? To which Shimon ben Manasseh and Shimon HaTimani argue. They say that's not the pshat. They go hand in hand. If you can't do one, you can't do the other. So gufa that might be the machloikis tanayim. The machloikis tanayim is gufa Rabbi Yaakov's chakira. How to understand the payment of the chamish of the veloisi elisha? If veloisi elisha is a chelik of the knas, or veloisi elisha is a dovet study, two separate things. There's payment and there's knasas. The two things don't go hand in hand. And that's really what we mushed around in the Mishnah Lamelech. The Mishnah Lamelech was really discussing this nekuda. According to Shimon Manasseh, is marriage and the knas go hand in hand. So back to Rabbi Yaakov's chakira. What's the nafkamina? What would it be a practical nafkamina to tzadim of the chakira? Zot Rabbi Yaakov, the last few lines, the nafkamina bazeh shem b'shas ma'isa. Says Rabbi Yaakov, what would happen if at the time you were ma'anaser, she was royal to get married to, and then her status changed? Let's say, for example, a kohen is ma'anas a girl, and then she becomes a grusha at the time of her mother b'din. At the time you were ma'anaser, she was she was married. She was an eishes ish, let's say. Right? She wasn't a grusha, whatever, she was single. Then she gets married, and then she becomes a grusha. So Zot Rabbi Yaakov, v'nafkamina bazeh, she'im b'shas ma'isa, hayinu b'shas bia, hoisa ruy l'kayma. If at the time of the bia, you could have married her, v'achakach, hayinu b'shas achiv nasis le'in aruya, and then later on, she only becomes a neruya. So Zot Rabbi Yaakov, delatamo echad, according to the first reason, yishalim, you'd have to pay. Why? Because this is the type of woman that the Torah was mechayiv me. Since at the time when I lived with her, she was that type of woman. But according to the second shot, says Rabbi Yaakov, you'd be potter. Why? Because when it comes to payment, it's all or nothing. And since at the time of payment, I can't pay all, I pay nothing. Now, you could a shtickle debate the way Rabbi Yaakov sets this up. Again, Rabbi Yaakov wants to say that the nafkamina between the first shot and the second shot, well, what would happen if, but from the time of the story till the Amad Bedin, things would change. But if you learn that the whole chiv only starts at Amad Bedin, then that really would fall off even according to the first shot. If Yaakov wants to say that what would happen if at the time you were ma'anaser, she was eligible to get married to you, and then later on she becomes ineligible. So Zot Yaakov, according to the first pshat that he said, that it's totally in which type of girls the Torah gave kanas to. So this is a type of girl that what? At the time of the ma'isa, she was a girl that the Torah gave kanas to. But if you hold the whole chiv only starts at Amad Bedin, so we look at Amad Bedin. At the time of Amad Bedin, she was unfit for marriage. Girls that are unfit for marriage are unfit for kanas. I would assume that even according to the first tzad, in that case, you wouldn't get knas. But Rabbi Yaakov says not like that. Rabbi Yaakov says that according to the first tzad of his chakira, she would get knas, because at the time of the ma'isa, when you actually were ma'anaser, she was very eligible for marriage. If she was eligible for marriage, she gets the chiv knas. But if you hold it, the second tzad says Rabbi Yaakov, according to the second tzad, it's still totally in, whether or not a full payment or a partial payment, so we don't care why. At the end of the day, when it comes to payment time, you don't pay the velois elisha. If you don't pay the velois elisha, you don't pay the 50 shkolim either. But I think...
What would happen if the guy, when comes time to payment, he's an ani, he can't afford to pay. So does that say, okay, then since you can't do the payment, therefore you don't have to marry her?
I would assume not. I would assume he'd have to pay. He'd have to get the money somehow.
Let's just say the guy doesn't have any money whatsoever. Is that a patur? Does the payment, the inability to pay, does that get him out of
the... I don't think it goes... Meaning, we're saying that velois elisha affects the 50. You want to know if the 50 affects the velois elisha.
Look at the other one. Right here.
It's a good point. I would assume it should go hand in hand, according to this. If it goes hand in hand one way, I would assume it should go hand in hand the other way as well. Maybe. But it's a good point. It's a good aura. I'm not sure what would happen in the reverse case where you can't do the 50, but you could do the velois elisha. Okay.
So what if the man ran into Bezir's mode of knas? So would he get out of the low Elisha as well?
So we said it's machloikis rishonim. Right? We were told this in machloikis rishonim way back in the beginning of the Masechta. Yeah, 100%. We said that would be a machloikis rishonim if you get out of it. And we were told that in this chakira about how to understand the low Elisha. Yeah, 100%. That's what we said, a lot of weeks ago. Yeah, we said such a pshab in the beginning. But I came across the Yonis Elam. Michael, who's the Yonis Elam? Michael's not even listening. Okay.
Michael's listening. Yeah. And the Yonis Elam, I will tell you in one second.
I know you know who he is.
I have his sefer. Hold on.
The Yonis Elam was Ibyaina Karpilov. Ibyaina Karpilov was also known as the Minsker Ilui. Ibyaina Minsker. He was from the town of Minsk. And he was a mirror. He learned in the mirror. He learned by the Briskarov. He learned with all the great mirror. He was very close with her.
Right, Rabbi, here it is. Okay. Yeah.
Went to Shanghai also.
He did not go to Shanghai.
That's a chavrusa with my Rebbe Rabatz.
Not in Shanghai. He never made it to Shanghai. He died before Shanghai. The Yonis Elam died because he didn't make it to Shanghai. That's exactly what happened to him. The Yonis Elam was Rabbi Yonah Minsker was already as a bocher. Again, you have to remember, he was born in 1909. So you're talking about by the time of the war, he was in his early 30s. He was known as an Eloi. The Rosh Hashivas were mechabit him as a bacher. But he was a big Talmud of the Mir. He was a Talmud of the Mir, Talmud of Biskarov. And he did not go to Shanghai with the rest of the Mir. he stayed in Europe, and he was ultimately killed by Lithuanians, like the way many of the Gedolim went. He was killed in one of these, you know, local riots from the local animals of Lithuania, and he was killed. And they say over that his brother survived the war. He had a brother who survived the war. Zev was his brother, and he printed his sefer, and that's what we have today. Now, he was very close with many of the Gedolim. He was very close with Chaim Shmulevitz, all the Altamiras. He was close with all the Altamiras. But they say this, I did not know, that Reb Pinchas Scheinberg, who was already in America during the war, was very close with Yonis Elam, and he spent time running around Washington to try his hardest to free him from Europe. And he couldn't. And when he found that he died, he cried and he cried. And he said, what a loss to Klal Yisrael. We lost an amazing person. And when he met his nephews, years later, he met his nephews. His brother Zev had children. He would cry about the great loss of this wonderful Eloi. Reb Yonah Minsker was this great, great Eloi of another casualty of the Holocaust. You know, he wasn't even married. He was a bacher. The Altamiras got married very late in Europe. People don't know this. They think there was a shidduch crisis. There was no shidduch crisis. It was the opposite. The girls didn't want to marry the Mirrors. The Mirrors got married in their mid-upper 30s. The Chassidus Shabbachim got married much younger. That was the whole joke. When Meir Shapiro came to the Mirror, he made fun of everything because he was already married. And he was young. He was like in his early 20s. And these guys were all in their upper 20s. They were all still single. So he made some comment like, yeah, when you guys get married, you know, we can talk. The Mirrors got married very late. All the Altamiras, if you look at their life, most of them got married very significantly later in life. It wasn't so easy to find Shidduchim back then. Today, everyone wants to marry a learning boy. Not so in Europe in the mid-1930s. They weren't running after the Mirror. Even though the Mirror boys were very well-dressed and very well-put together, they still had a Shidduch crisis nonetheless. So Yonis Elam was one of the, again, another casualty of the Holocaust, another thing to commemorate. And Yom HaShoah, all the many, many things we lost was the Torah that we lost of the Holocaust. But in any case, so he has a shtickle in his sefer. Yes.
I don't like to go on history, but I know you like it. But
I do.
I'm just curious why the author is somebody, Zev Vilnitsky. So that must probably be
his brother.
His brother.
No, his brother changed his name. I don't know why. His brother changed his name. I don't know why. Yeah, no, I saw it brought down that his brother changed his name. I couldn't understand myself why. It's hard to know what people did after the war for whatever reason, maybe for visa purposes. But that Zev is his brother who survived the war and printed his sefer. There are pictures. If you go online, you can see pictures of him together with his brother before the war. But that was Reb Yonah. They say that the Slobodka, he died right outside the doors of the Slobodka yeshiva. That's where they murdered him. Mamish right outside the doors of the yeshiva. And they, you know, this was such a loss for Klal Yisrael to lose a Zagodol like him in 1941, you know, relatively beginning of the war. Okay, but the Yonis Elam, we have a sefer, so Baruch Hashem, we can learn his Torah. It should be a schus for his neshama, of course, as well. So let's see what he says over here. So he also talks about our sugya, and he writes the following. He writes this. He says, "V'nir loymer." Says the Yonis Elam. Says the Yonah Minsker. Let's say according to Reb Shimon, the memayit maloy siliyisha gam leinin knas. Let's say you hold according to Shimon Atei money. If it's a lady that I can't marry, then I don't even pay her knas. Right? That's what comes out. So he wants to know, like Reb Yaakov's chakira, because they don't learn the same yeshiva, he don't learn in Slobodka. He wants to know what's the pshat. He says, "Who miatu the isha kozeh she'ein arui lekaimo lo nisar b'lein knas." It means that a woman who's not fit for marriage doesn't get knas. Avol ein habir, the pshat is not. He says, don't learn like if Yaakov wanted to tie in one of its tadim. That what? Well, if I can't do the marriage part, then I don't do the payment part. That's not the pshat, says Reb Yonah Minsker. Why not? He says, I'll prove it to you. He says, Dimash, he says, Vaharaya, what's my proof? According to Shimon Atei Moni, Dimash Meishish Yesh Bavaya, you have a woman that you can marry, Hachavi Lavin Knas. Chayv knas, chayv lavin. According to Shimon Atei Moni, you can get married to. So if you can get married to her, you have to pay her knas. Ubechol zois mitzvahs nesuin shaloi siliyisha ein olav. He goes back to like the Mishnah Lamelach. Says he being a minsker. It's a pelle. He doesn't quote the Mishnah Lamelach. He says, but avada, according to Shimon Atei Moni, you're not going to have a mitzvah to marry her because it's a sin. You're not going to have the mitzvah to marry her, and still you pay knas. If the pshat is that any woman that I can marry is a woman who gets the knas, so why does she get a knas in that case? So Reb Yaakov bavarned this. Reb Yaakov said, but it's wrong to marry her. Maybe I'm not going to practically marry her, but I could marry her, theoretically. It's royu labila, like Reb Yaakov pointed out. So says it, you're going to say, Elam, Givaldik. The Mashma, Ish, Yesh, Bavaya, Hachavi, Lav, and Knas, Chayv, Knas. Ubechol, Zoyth, Mitzvah, Sasun, Shalois, Ish, Ain't Alof. That's not a discussion. I don't get it. If the pshat is that you could only give knas to a woman who you actually marry, so how does Reb Shimon HaTeimoni give knas to Chavi Lavin? You're not going to actually marry her. Meaning he's assuming like the Mishnah LeMelech that you're actually going to have to marry her, and we're not going to allow you to marry a Chavi Lavin, yet you're still giving her knas. If the pshat is you only give knas to a woman who you're actually going to marry, here it's not shayich because you're not actually going to marry her. So Reb Yaakov clutched out of it and said, no, you could marry her. She's ro'u l'kaima, ro'u l'ishus. Says Yannis Elam, no. If you're not going to marry, then you don't get knas. So he says, Im Kain, what's the pshat? El HaKorchach, mitzvahs nesuin v'chi of knas, heim aliba de kuliyah meshnei in yonim nifrodim. According to everyone, there are two separate things. The efshaliyas chayv knas, upot b'din nesuin. It's still possible to practically not marry and still have to pay the money. That's the chiddush of everyone. Elo de hadorishu de isha kazoi she'ena roi l'kaimo, havi p'tura min haknas. So what's the whole Shimon HaTeimoni says in Yonis Salem? It's the pshat like Reb Yaakov said, that a woman who's not eligible for marriage is a woman that the Torah never wants you to pay knas to. He basically picks Sodom in Reb Yaakov's Chakira. He says, it's not the pshat that if I can't do half, I don't do the other half. That's not the lomdus. Because I'm never going to do the whole thing according to Reb Shimon HaTeimoni. So what is the pshat? The pshat is, it's like a simen. I guess you could call this a siba simen Chakira. Is it the pshat that a woman who you can't marry is a simin, such a woman the Torah doesn't want you to marry? Or the pshat is that if you can't marry her, then you're not doing the whole knas. If you're not doing the whole knas, you don't do anything. Says the Yonis Elam, that's poshut to him. That the way this works is that it's a geder. It's a simin. Which women does the Torah give you a knas for? Only a woman who you could marry. Not the woman you're going to marry. A woman who you could marry. So therefore, as long as you could marry this woman, even though you're not going to marry this woman, you're going to have to pay the knas. So he mamish weighs in on Reb Yaakov's chakir and really picks sides in Reb Yaakov's chakir. Okay, but that's not what I wanted to really get to today. I want to get to this Taisus. We just learned in the Gemara way back before, where the Gemara told us that what according to Reb Akiva, Chayvei Lavin do not have Tfisis Kedushin. What is the only exception of Chayvei Lavin that have Tfisis Kedushin? That's a Almona Kohen Gadol. If an almana gives kedushin to an almana to a kohen gadol to an almana, even though it's a chavi lavin, kedushin goes through. Why? So Rabbi Akiva says he has a drasha. What was the drasha? It says in the Torah that if a kohen gadol marries an almana, the children become chalolim. So Zok the Gemara, they become chalolim, they don't become mamzerim. So Frek Taisvis, what does that have to do with our sugya? We're not discussing mamzerim in our sugya. We're discussing kedushin. We want to know, can an almana marry a kohen gadol? And what do you tell me? Almana with a kohen gadol, the baby is not a mamzer. What does that have to do with the kedushin? So Zok Taisus number 11. Mashma, it seems like from Asugyo, the ha baha talia, mamzeris and tvisis kedushin go hand in hand. The kivon dole havi mamzer, kedushin taifsin. Says Taisus on an unbelievable sight. You see from this Gemara that if all the information I give you is that a baby is not a mamzer from a certain couple, that automatically means the marriage was valid. And whenever I tell you the baby is a mamzer, that equals the marriage was invalid. There was no tvisis kedushin. Says Taisus, we see from our Gemara that those two concepts are intertwined. That whenever a baby is a product of a relationship and the baby is a mamzer, that means the baby was a product of a marriage that had no halachic kedushin. And whenever the baby is not a mamzer, that's a sign that the baby was not a product from an illicit relationship. Again, the relationship might be usher, but kedushin was chal in this relationship. Therefore, says the Gemara, if according to Rabbi Akiva, when Almona lives with a Kohen Gadol, the baby is not a mamzer, that's a dead giveaway. If the baby is not a mamzer, it must be the Kedushin was chal. So says Rabbi Akiva, that's the one exception. That even though it's a lav, it must be the Kedushin is chal, because if the Kedushin would not be chal, then the baby would be a mamzer, and the baby is not a mamzer, that's a sign that the Kedushin is chal. Okay, now let's get into this a lot more. So if you learn on the next page, there's a Chakir from Rabbi Chonan. I was just reading about Rabbi Chonan. Rabbi Chonan was known for his asmada. And if people make a mistake, they say that Rabbi Chonan was a Talmud of Reb Chaim. That is actually totally not true. Reb Chaim was a Talmud of Tel's Yeshiva. Rabbi Chanan learned in Tells by Rabbi Lazer Gordon, and he learned in Tells by Reb Shimon. He considered Reb Shimon his Rebbe the entire time. He only met Reb Chaim much later. He met Reb Chaim because they were once together on one of these summer retreats, you know, like in the bungalow colony. He met Reb Chaim. He was very impressed by Reb Chaim, and he liked Reb Chaim's style. And then later on, Reb Chanan's first job, one of his first jobs as a Rebbe in the yeshiva in Brisk, I guess he's called today like a high school or an upper elementary school, that Reb Chaim ran. So in Mamele, he got a shaykhus to Reb Chaim. But his real learning was in Tells. He didn't learn in by Reb Chaim in Brisk. He learned in Tells. He learned by Reb Lazer Gordon. He says in the book that he liked Reb Shimon's Mahalach much more than Reb Lazer Gordon. So he towards Netiya, towards Reb Shimon, he considered Reb Shimon his Rebbe Muvok. And when his son got old enough to go to yeshiva, he sent his son to Shara Torah. He sent his son to learn by Reb Shimon because he always considered Reb Shimon his Rebbe Muvok. Reb Shimon's Rebbetzin used to say that the Talmidim used to come hakachanik by him all night long in learning. And he says the only one that he didn't mind so much was Reb Chanan. When Reb Chanan used to come, he always used to ask good questions. He wouldn't waste his time. So Reb Shimon didn't mind, you know, when Reb Chanan used to come and hack him up at Chinese. But Reb Chanan to say he was a Talmud of Reb Chaim, I don't know where that comes from. He was a Talmud of Reb Shimon. It's a whole different style of Reb Chaim and Reb Shimon. He liked Reb Chaim's style. Again, if you learn Reb Chanan's Swam, you'll see the style of learning is much more Reb Chaim's style than is Reb Shimon's style. But he wasn't a Talmud by, he held himself, he had a lot of respect for Reb Chaim. But he wasn't a Talmud of Reb Chaim. He was a big masmid. They say the story goes, he was learning with the Panovich Rav in the Kachim Kailo by the Chavetz Chaim. And he gets a telegram. The telegram said his wife had a baby. So he makes the bracha Tayva Meitiv and he goes back to learning. Okay? That's a real hasmada. They say that he gets a similar letter years later that his shver died, Remeir Atlas, who was a big gadol. So he takes the letter, gives it to his wife, and also goes back to learning. He was they say he used to learn for something like 20 hours straight. He was an unbelievable masbid. Again, another casualty of the Holocaust, also taken by us, by the Lithuanian chalerias. So, you know, we should blame them also, not just the Nazis. But in any case, so Rabbi Chanan writes in Kaibet Tzara the following chakir. Frank Rabbi Chanan, what we just saw in Taisus. Taisus told us that whenever the baby is a mamzer, it's a sign that there was no kedushin. And whenever the baby's not a mamzer, that's a sign there was kedushin. Kler Rabbi Chanan achakira, which really stems from his Rebbe Reb Shimon, is this what we call a siba, or is this a simon? Meaning, is the pshat that the reason why the baby is a mamzer is because there was no kedushin? Is that the reason? Is that the siba, or it's merely a simon? The Torah doesn't like certain relationships, and whenever the Torah doesn't like the relationship, and because the Torah doesn't like the relationship, that's why the baby is going to be a mamzer. Is it a cause and effect? Or is it merely a reflection of Hashem's will and want of relationships? Meaning, is the reason why the baby is a mamzer is because this is an illicit relationship? Which is always a question, what do you want from the baby? The baby didn't do anything wrong. But that's always the effect. When you have an illicit relationship, the baby gets affected, the baby becomes a mamzer. Or the pshat, no, says Rabbi Chanan. It's not the pshat that it's a siba. It's just a simen. You want to know what type of babies does the Torah consider mamzerim? The Torah considers babies that the Torah doesn't allow the marriage to go through. Now you'll ask me in a second, what's the nafkamino? So we'll see in a second what's the nafkamino. So let's read it inside. Number 12. Zot v'chonon, koyvet z'aris. B'ha de mamzeris tola b'tvis kedushin yesh l'farish. De menias ha-kedushin hi ha-siba ha-goremes l'mamzeris. The pashup shot would be is that the fact that the marriage is not valid, that's why the baby's a mamzer. That would be the most simple way of understanding the sugya. Meaning, why is this baby affected? Because the parents had no business to get married, and because this kedushin was an illegitimate kedushin that produces the mamzer. Oy efshur de ein ela simin. So Dr. Bachana, maybe not so fast. Maybe it's not a siba, but it's a simin. What? Dehecha delev tafsina be kedushin neshi ervo. Whenever the Torah does not allow a marriage to go through, hachanami avla mamzer neshi ervo. Meaning it's not the why, it's the fact. That if these two people can't be married because there's something wrong, so when the baby's produced, there's also something wrong. But not it's not because of that. The same reason why the kedushin doesn't go through, also explains why the baby's a mamzer. Those are the tutzadim of Rabbi Chanan. Now what's the nafkamina? So Zakta Rabbi Chanan, he thinks it's totally the machlokes. He tied as it's totally in the following shayla. Akum v'ever abal bas Yisrael. What happens if a guy lives with a Jewish girl? Is the baby a mamzer? Yeah. A Jewish man, sadly this happens too often in our religion, intermarriage, a man, goyish man lives with a Jewish woman, what's the status of the baby? Is the baby a mamzer? So Dr. Bukhana, what's the shayla? The time of the man, the Omer Havlat Kosher, the opinion of the Gemara Yevamos, that holds the baby's kosher, why? Because this man, do you know why he has no kedushin to this woman? Not because there's something wrong between this relationship. It's because this man can't marry anyone. Not this girl, not another girl, not any girl. He's a guy. Goyim don't have Tvisas Kedushin. Therefore, says the Rajba, he quotes the Rajba, Rabbi Chanan, Upirsha Rajba, Demizem Muchach, the Eini Mitam Isser Erva, Ela Delav B'nei Kedushin Inu. Says the Rajba, you know why this man can't marry this girl? Not because there's something stopping their relationship. It's not like a brother trying to marry a sister where the Erva gets in the way. There's no Erva over here. There's just no concept of marriage from a guy to a Jew. Therefore, the baby's not a mamzer. That's how the Rajba explains the Gemara. Uman Damar Havlad Mamzer. And if you hold the baby is a mamzer, Svir Leidim Mikomok and Kivin Dulei Tav Seba Kedushin Me'ezit Tam Shia Havlad Mamzer. So what the Bechon Gishmak? If the pshat is that the Erva is the problem, that the Erva is what causes the mamzeris, Zok Rebbe Chanan, there's no Erva with a goy to a Jew. The marriage is not stopped because of the Erva. The marriage is stopped because he's not a Bar Kedushin. He can't marry anyone. Therefore, if the pshat is that the Erva is what stops the Kedushin, so over here, if the Erva stopping the Kedushin creates the Mamzeris, says Rebbe Chanan, that you don't have that by a goy who's by a Jewish girl. Because there is no Erva that's stopping it. What's stopping the marriage is the David study. What's stopping the marriage is the fact that he's a goy and goyim don't have Kedushin. Therefore, that case, the Vlad should be kosher. But if you hold that it's just a simon, that anyone who can't get married, and if you get married, you produce a mamzer, then who cares why you can't get married? As long as there's no marriage, it produces a mamzer. So that's how Rebbe Chanan wants to be toiler that chakira in this machlokes. One last stickle and we'll leave off with this. Frek de marsha gevaldike kasha. The Gemara makes it sound like it's so simple that anyone who you can't marry, and you marry, we look at the status of the baby. If the baby's a mamzer, that's a sign that the kedushin was not typhus. If the baby's not a mamzer, it's a sign that the kedushin was typhus. Frek de marsha, one problem. Number 13, tzas kasha. Amai le tikshilu me yivomo l'shuk. Frek de marsha, what do you do with yivomo l'shuk? Afo gav de e mamzer mimenu l'chachom de pliga de rekivo. Svirle de kedushin typhus in bo. Frek de marsha, you have a problem on our hands. Yivomo l'shuk. If a guy has a yivomo, Reuven dies, he leaves a wife, Shimon has a mitzvah to do Yibam to her. But he's waiting, she's a Yivam Lushuk. Another person comes over and lives with her. So the status is that's a lav. And the baby that's produced is what? Not a mamzer. Yet, if Levi wanted to give Kedushin to her, the Kedushin would not go through. And yet, the baby is not a mamzer. You told me that they go hand in hand. You told me that whenever there is Kedushin, the Vlad is not a mamzer. And whenever there is no Kedushin, the Vlad is a mamzer. Yet by Yivam Lushuk, if our guy would go over to a Yivam Lushuk, give her Kedushin, that Kedushin does not go through. Yet, a baby that would be produced from a relationship with a stranger and Yivam Lushuk, the baby's not a mamzer. That's not consistent with our policy. Our policy is that the two things go hand in hand. So Mr. Shem, next week we'll see a Geshmaka Teretz, how to be Miyashiv, the Marshal's Kash, and we'll continue on this discussion of the relationship between Tvisas Kedushin and Mamzeres. Okay.
Well, is there any Sir Erva by Yivam Lushuk? Is that necessarily one of the Arayas?
Okay, good. That's part of the answer. Okay, Gevaldik. We'll develop that a little bit, Hashem, more next week, that there's two dinim in Tvisas Kedushin, and that's one of the important Nekudas to answer up Yivam Lushuk. Yeah, very good. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll develop it a little bit more next week, but that's a starting point to discuss what exactly is the Issi Yivam Lushuk that creates the Tvisas Kedushin. Okay, Rabbi Say, have a wonderful week, and we'll see everyone in Mitzvah Hashem Tuesday night. You.